Okay, it is December 2nd, brand new month. Tomorrow morning will be Sabbath day, obviously. We'll be doing testimony. But it is Sabbath Eve, December 2nd, 2022. We're on page 182 of the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1. And chapter, what is that, 16. Yeah, because it's before the, or after the X. So that's, that's 14. No, it's 16, yeah, because it was before it would be 14. And this one's titled The Plagues of Egypt. And it says that the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Now, a lot of people don't realize this. The prophetic innuendos here are pretty nice. Of course, this is more or less what he did for us when we came out of the bondage of sin. In prophecy, Egypt is the symbol for atheism. Denying God, the base definition of the atheist is to deny God. And so when you don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even though you claim there is a God, you're actually denying him. If you disobey him, he has no input or say-so in regards to your life whatsoever. Yeah, well, then he has an awful lot of say-so in regards to your death, because that's where you're headed. And so you're rid of, we got rid out of the bondage of sin and the stretched-out arm. Do a little Bible study on that. You'll find out that means military in the sense of, when the arm is stretched out, it's the sheath. The sword has been removed from the sheath, and the act of the battle has begun, in prophecy. And that's hence the reason for the great judgments, because he more or less made himself known. They realized his hand was very visible. Very, very visible unto all of them. And that was his reason for it. He goes on to say, or she goes on to say, and I will take, she's speaking for the Lord here, and it says, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in, onto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. In other words, he's locking it down by saying, my word is absolute. That's why he says, I am the Lord. And then it says, and Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. The flesh hasn't... this is what we got to overcome, brothers and sisters, because it's going to get off the chart in the coming year or two. It's already off the chart, but it's going to get just crazy. I mean, I was just talking to a brother in the faith earlier, and it's hard to see how blind people are. How they just can't... It's like they're all brainwashed en masse. I mean, it's just... How do they not see all that's happening? But that's why there's all these different Bibles with verses missing. 44,000 different denominations. Satan knew when, around the time of the second coming. He doesn't know the day or the hour like any of us don't. He knows the season just like we can and do. We're in it. And so he had to get all his ducks in a row set up for this day. This is why I believe in my heart of hearts. And perhaps maybe it's in Sister White's writing somewhere. I don't know. But I think he had them change the Sabbath. Well, supposedly. He'll think to change times and laws, like Daniel said. So it's not really happening, but that's what he thinks. And that's what he preaches. And that's what they believe. And so that's what I believe, honestly, deep down inside, that the reason they did this on March 7th, 321 AD, where the first Sunday laws, is so that by the time of the end, because he knew his time was drawing short, he knew about the 6,000-year prophecy, he knew about the 2,000 thing. I got it on the rapture page, by the way. And so he knew that he had to have everything set up so that by the time he really starts flexing, all these other issues that he's going to have with these humans that he hates with a passion, is going to be whittled down to some extent because they're already going to believe his lies as if they're gospel because of antiquity. They're going to think simply because the Sabbath was supposedly changed 1,500 years ago, well, actually longer than that, 1,701 years ago, that people today think, well, man, since it's been changed for so long and no one said anything about it, well, I beg to differ. They have said a lot about it, but most people ignore it because the remnant people are small in number all throughout time. As a matter of fact, I got a page on the website. As a matter of fact, I'll go to real quick for those that don't, that want to check this out. Just go to Bible Truth, the Sabbath, Sabbath history, right there. Second link. Click it. These are all, the documented facts, not just scripture. There's things here from, like the Church of England, Divine, and all that stuff. All this evidence from every century proving since the dawn of, you know, Christianity, if you will, even though the dawn of Christianity was 6,000 years ago, but it was literally called Christianity 2,000 years ago. Since then, there have been Christians keeping the seventh-day Sabbath all along. All along. And I got all the evidence right here on this page. Okay? And never even bothered to change this. This is an old. This is back in the bulletin board days. A friend of mine and I, you know, we worked together on the bulletin boards trying to help the Catholics and the SDAC things. And he came up with a study. We worked together on all a bunch of studies. And this was the end result of some of our work. And this was, I can't remember the guy's name. Man, I can't remember his name. Oh, but anyway, but yeah, this is all sorts of evidence to show that, Satan hasn't been as successful as some people think when it comes to changing the Sabbath, because Christians have, real Christians, well, obedient Christians, there's people out there that keep Sunday holy that have gone to their graves that had no idea it was sin, and so they're not going to be judged accordingly. They're not going to be judged as in sin, because if you don't know it's a sin, then the Lord's not going to, he's not a tyrant, he's our Father, so he understands. But hence the reason for the seven churches and the four different movements of what we're seeing today. We're in the 11th hour, and so when you get down to, actually when you get to the 9th hour, yeah, even though the 6th hour was a pretty amazing movement with Martin Luther and all that, he still was a Sunday keeper. And so there's a little bit of information at a time. The Lord winks, he winks, he winks. He allows us to get as far as we can understand. He's not going to cause our heads to swim and not be able to get what he wants us to understand, right? And so you saw all what went down with the Luther, you know, with Martin Luther and all that, and then eventually you got to the SDAs. They were the first to come forward to actually keep the seventh-day Sabbath. And it's amazing, too, when you go a little bit, you dig deep in there. It was during the Millerite movement that a woman brought up the fact that you should keep the seventh-day Sabbath, and it wasn't Ellen White. And then there was, she approached a preacher, and he started keeping it, and then it finally got to Joseph Bates, I think. And then James White found out about it. Him and Ellen did a big old study on it, and they all started keeping Sabbath, and then they started the SDA Church. So the Lord works in mysterious ways, and then the rest is his story, as we know, or history, as some people call it. And so we're at that time now where we're going to go forth with an awful lot of good information, and there's a lot of people out there that are searching. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to a young man on the phone today, and 18 years old. He'll be in my praise list tomorrow for my testimonies. And keep him in your prayers. His name is Jacob. And just met him on the phone. He's related to someone that attacked this ministry many, many, like 10, 15 years ago. And, wow, he was like 3 years old. Wow. And so, yeah, he's related to him. It's like not immediate family. It's like a great uncle that attacked us. And now he's coming into the truth, and he's been blessed by what we're sharing, and he had some questions. But he had to call back because he had to get back to work. He was at work when he called me. And so keep him in your prayers. His name is Jacob, and he'll be joining us soon, I'm sure, because the Lord seems to send an awful lot of young people at times. And keep him in it, because remember what happened with Sean and Alex and all that when they first found the truth, and they were very young. Yeah, sometimes the parents will get all up in your face for trying to keep God's law. And so it's difficult, but it's not impossible because Christ is amazing. When we show our desire to, so that's where He shines the most, as far as I'm concerned. So praise His mighty name. So going on, she says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. Moses was somewhat discouraged. In his despondency, he inquired of the Lord, if the children of Israel, thine own circumcised people, will not hearken unto me, how then shall Pharaoh, who was uncircumcised and an idolater, hear me? It's amazing how he was able to talk to the Lord. Just like, oh, I found a quote the other day. Where is it? I think we shared it last week. Oh, I should put that on my... Because I've always had questions in this regard. I remember when I first started praying like this, I asked the Lord a question, and it was more or less the answer was given. Yeah, I'm willing to listen. Kind of like one of those things. The way we talk to a friend is how we can pray when we talk to him. Now, you got to give him, you know, honor, reverence, and respect, obviously. I like to start my prayers on my knees. And then I'll go out to a midday prayer and go for a walk and talk, you know, and just talk to him for as long as it takes. And been doing that for decades. And I found out recently that Sister White said something to that. Maybe we talked about that last week here, was it? So, but anyway. It's nice to see, because like I just said here, that the way Moses is talking to the Father, you know, well, actually, it's Jesus he's talking to, we found out later, of course, as well. But he's talking to Jesus, and he's just being matter-of-factly, if you will. He's not being disrespectful in any way, shape, or form, you know. So anyway, he goes on to say, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies, and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Now there's a couple of ways to look at this, the way the Lord did this. Because you can look at it the merciful way, because it's like I always use the analogy of a lump of wax and a lump of clay, you know, fresh clay, not baked. It's still soft and malleable where you can form something out of it. Put both lumps in the desert, and the sunlight hits both. Sunlight's not any different for either one of them. It's just the sunlight hits both. The clay hardens like a rock. The wax melts into a puddle. Same thing with God's love. With some people, you can show, and we've seen this on the street, especially now. In these days, oh, it's just nuts out there. It's just, especially now, most of these people have gotten these strange immunity-altering and mind-altering, quote-unquote, what they call vaccines. But the way they define these shots, those aren't vaccines. But anyway, these people are all mixed up out there. And so it's really difficult to talk to some of them. They don't want to hear it. And so the love you present them will anger them, or the love you present someone else will make them, they'll just break them. It's like Jesus said, if you fall upon the rock, it'll break you. You know, you'll be a born-again Christian, old man dies away. But if the rock falls on you, you'll be powder, right? And that is the end of the 1,000 years, when we walk upon their ashes. That's powder. What's this? Okay, thanks, Brother Eli. All right, I was looking, because thank you. I'm going to email this to me, because I have a tendency to keep forgetting where I'm putting stuff, because it's like my wife always calls me, you know, absent-minded professor, got way, way, way too much going on, and so I got to make notes. I got sticky notes that are all over my desktop, but they're electronic sticky notes, and it's not the kind that come with Microsoft. Those are junk. I got something called, what is it called? It's NoteZilla. It used to be called Quick Notes. Then they changed it to NoteZilla for some reason. But boy, I really like it. It alarms everything. It's very useful to me. So let me email this to myself here, because this was a blessing to me. I'm going to put it on my private praise list later. But thanks again, Brother Eli. I like that. So let me email it to myself real quick. There it goes. All right. So she goes on to say that, and the Egyptians shall know that I. Okay, let me backtrack a little bit here though, because I wanted to finish that point in regards to how the Lord melts one heart and hardens another heart. Not that He wants to do it. Let's say it's just that He knows Pharaoh is an atheist. Egypt is going to be the symbol for atheism in prophecy, and that's what it is today. And so He knows that He is going to be this way, even if He shows him as much love as He can. And so He runs with it, right? And then the other way to look at it is, He allows the hardening so as to glorify Himself even more. 10 plagues, right? And so not just the people of Egypt, but this opened up a lot of the eyes of the Jews who were a little bit, you know, annoyed with Moses, if you will, because what they were going through, like she said here a minute ago, she says, they will not hearken unto me, you know, because, you know, the people weren't hearkening unto him because of their grief and their problems and their, you know, being their burdens is what it was, yeah. And so anyway, going on, it says, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And again, there's that stretch forth hand. It's an act of judgment or military sense, like when you remove the sword from its sheath. You're stretching out your hands because the hands were usually underneath the robe. And this is a war that's going on right now between Pharaoh and the Lord, because Pharaoh is just blowing them off and ignoring them through Moses. And the Lord keeps on showing himself, look, this ain't going to end well for you if you don't. And, of course, it didn't end well for him. So going on, it says, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. The Lord told Moses that the signs and wonders which he should show before Pharaoh would harden his heart because he would not receive them. And God would multiply his signs. Every punishment which the king rejected would bring the next chastisement more close and severe until the proud heart of the king would be humbled and he should acknowledge the maker, capital M, of the heavens, you know, maker of the heavens and the earth as the living and all-powerful God. But again, as we all know, that didn't last when he told the Jews to leave. He went ahead and started to chase them too. And so the Lord just allowed a finalization, if you will, of the act. And Pharaoh had no choice but to stand there and watch. You know, with the Red Sea. So going on, it says, the Lord brought up his people from their long servitude in a signal manner, giving the Egyptians an opportunity to exhibit the feeble wisdom of their mighty men and array the power of their gods in opposition to the God of heaven. The Lord showed them, by his servant Moses, that the maker of the heavens and the earth is the living and all-powerful God above all gods, that his strength is mightier than the strongest, that omnipotence could bring forth his people with a high hand and with an outstretched arm. Now, think about this, brothers and sisters, because we're looking at our Red Sea. We're about to see our Red Sea. The only difference is, instead of splitting the Red Sea, he's going to split the eastern sky. That's our calling, if you will. And so we're going to have to deal with these Pharaoh types. And so you always have to keep it in the back of your mind. Even if you're standing there about to be martyred, don't let it bother you, because if you went forth like many of our brothers and sisters have gone to sleep recently have done, it's pretty clear in the 1858 Great Controversy. As a matter of fact, me, my wife, and my daughter, sister Mandy, were reading from the 1858 in regards, you know, right as Sabbath started, in regards to how, you know, what people call the special resurrection, you know, where the people that were instrumental in going forth with the three angels' message are going to resurrect before the time and day is given. And we're trying to lock it down now. I'm still trying to figure out. I want to get it locked down. To me, it looks like between Plague 6 and 7, like it could either be the end of Plague 6, or no, I'm sorry, it could be near the beginning of the last, you know, 15 days of Plague 6, or the beginning of Plague 7, when this all goes down. But it's pretty amazing to watch as the way Sister White reveals it, because it's kind of like she's just sitting there writing stuff down, right? And so the people that were instrumental in bringing forth the three angels' message, and that's only the people since 1844. It's not talking about all the Christians, the believers, from the previous centuries. No, they'll get up in a minute, but not now, not at this point. They're getting up, you know, and they're be, you know, join with us, hopefully. You know, they'll eventually find some of us, I'm sure, because I would think the Lord would not just raise them up. He'd raise them up in areas where, you know, we're at or something, let's say. I mean, look what he did with Philip after he baptized the eunuch. It's like all of a sudden he was where he needed to be, like he was teleported. And so we see this happening. Whatever you see happening in the scripture is going to happen with us when it comes to these end times. I mean, look at Isaiah chapter 2. He goes into big details of what's going on, and it's like you're reading the New Testament in regards to, you know, even they're throwing their gold and silvers to the bats and the moles. I mean, it's right there in Isaiah 2. And so we got to be ready for this. We got to be the strongest, because we are. I mean, that's what we're slated. This is why we were born in this last generation, brothers and sisters. You wonder why, you know, you're here now and you weren't born 1,000 years ago when it wasn't so, well, yeah, it was pretty intense then too, because the Catholic Church is killing all sorts of people. But let's just say you weren't born in the ninth hour, you know, like in the 1800s, because then you'd be sleeping right now. Or like my parents who died, you know, years ago. You know, they didn't see much persecution. None. You know, they were Catholic, obviously, but and hopefully they changed. I know my dad changed his ways right before he died, but it was kind of hard. I couldn't figure out my ma. You know, I couldn't figure her out, so it was kind of hard to figure there. So hopefully I'd see her again, too. But the thing is with, and I always wondered about that, too, is why. Well, no, that's really no business of mine now that I think about it, because it doesn't have anything to do with my decision as to when I want to be born, because that's not up to me, right? He forms us in the womb, which it says in Scripture, obviously, that he forms us and he gives us the name in the womb, which proves abortion is murder. And but they won't put those verses out there for some strange reason. But the fact is that we're going to have to deal with some pretty intense stuff in the coming days. And we have to have the faith like an extremely obedient Moses, if you will. Had to be a bunch of Moseses, a bunch of little Gideons, you know, a bunch of Aarons, you know, in his later years. You know, don't be doing no golden calves and stuff, obviously. But and a bunch of Joshuas and stuff, you know, we're going to go forth. And because it's that last generation, we might very well be in that Gideon band, you know, the 144,000. And so we're going to see things, and the Lord's going to do things right before our eyes, like he did here with the 10 plagues. Well, he's going to do it with the 7, obviously, in our day. But and the plagues have nothing to do with what we're going to be doing and preaching. If we're going to do any kind of preaching after plague 1 starts, it's just going to be a message of edification, because whoever's lost is going to stay lost at that point. You can't go out there and start preaching and try to bring people into the church when you see plague 1 start. No, you're done preaching. It's done. Plagues will fall for about a year, it says in Revelation, and that's it. We're out of here after that. And but up to that point, we got a lot of work to do, and we're going to have these, you know, the amazing abilities with the latter rain, and they're only abilities that glorify our Lord. And that's it. It has to be where it glorifies him. We can't look about self. You know, we can't think of it, like if any of us have any kind of pride whatsoever, like say if you got into popularity or if you want to be noticed or something like that, or if you can't walk past a mirror without falling in love, and like some people just can't, all they want to do is just be on camera, says, look at me, that kind of, no. You can't have anything about the flesh in any way, shape, or form. You have to be about Christ. And then he knows he can trust you. And then they'll be blessed with that latter rain. She goes on to say that the signs and miracles performed in the presence of Pharaoh were not given for his benefit alone, but for the advantage of God's people, to give them more clear and exalted views of God. Because you know what she was saying earlier? They weren't really trusting Moses. You know, because, I mean, they just went through 400 years of insanity, right? And so, yeah, they got to... they got to get their minds cleared up. It's kind of like Elijah asking for minstrels. You know, before I answer your questions, guys, please get me a minstrel, because all this vulgarity, all this disgusting stuff and the foul language that you guys are presenting, I don't even want to go into prayer. Give me some, you know, he wanted to hear some heavenly music. So clear his mind, get the garbage out of there. And hence the reason you don't want to be watching TV or anything like that. Think about it. This is one of the things I noticed, too, by the way. When we took the TV out of the house, the Bible seemed to open up even more. Well, actually, it didn't seem to. It did. And then not long after that, we found out about the law of God and the Sabbath. And because it's you know, like the movies and all this stuff, or even the video games, it's just a distraction. The more garbage you put in your brain, the more garbage you're going to send out. And you know, the devil knows how the human brain works and how it stores things, and how it's going to be very difficult to understand Scripture if you can't turn the TV off, or like YouTube videos or movies and stuff like that. You're not going to be able to understand or anything in the Scriptures. I mean, you might get the basic stuff and you'll stay a babe for life, but it's not where you want to be. You want to go forth and proclaim. So she goes on. Let me backtrack a little bit. The signs and the miracles performed in the presence of Pharaoh were not given for his benefit alone, but for the advantage of God's people, to give them more clear and exalted views of God, and that all Israel should fear him and be willing and anxious to leave Egypt and choose the service of the true and merciful God. Had it not been for these wonderful manifestations, many would have been satisfied to remain in Egypt rather than to journey through the wilderness. And if you recall, some of them said, yeah, we would, you know, want to go back to the flesh pots, as we found out later in Scripture. Going on, she's again quoting from the Word. It says, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. And now the Egyptians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. The magicians seek to perform several things with their enchantments, similar to those things which God wrought by the hand of Moses and Aaron. They did not really cause their rods to become serpents, but by magic, aided by the great deceiver, made them to appear like serpents, to counterfeit the work of God. And you look around today, you got magicians all over the place. You got Simon the Sorcerer's demon and a lot of guys out there, like, you know, like a guy like Chris Angel, I heard about him, and there's another guy that, I mean, they do some really shocking things, and of course they do a lot of camera tricks and stuff like that. But some of the street work they do, it shows there's a demon involved. It's just, as actually, I think some people are actually calling it demon magic, because there's no other way to explain it. You know, it's just too obvious. And so going on, it says Satan assisted. Oh, and by the way, some of these guys like to walk on water, act like they're walking on water. Yeah. But it's, you know, an easy trick. It's all it is a trick. But they do that for a reason. Who is the only person on the planet, well, two, that ever walked on water? Jesus Christ. And, of course, Peter. And he allowed Peter to do that to let us know that, okay, fine, what Jesus does, we're going to be doing as well in the coming days, but here's some proof. You know, look at Peter. He's just a regular guy, and he's standing, you know, walking on the water. So, you know, to kind of like open up some of our eyes, you know. But she goes on to say that Satan assisted his servants to resist the work of the Most High in order to deceive the people and encourage them in their rebellion. Pharaoh would grasp at the least evidence he could obtain to justify himself in resisting the work of God performed by Moses and Aaron. And does that sound familiar? I mean, every time I turn around, are people just looking? I mean, it's like I tell anybody that's thinking about going into ministry full-time, let's say, or even just hitting a pulpit. I says, now, when you start doing this, you're going to have to realize that they're going to watch you like a hawk. They're going to look for any reason, the slightest reason, to figure, okay, that's it, you're nuts, you know, I'm out of here. They'll just figure, you know, like you might have a typo on your website in regards to a certain statement you made. Or they're looking for, it's like Jesus said in regards to they're straining gnats, but they're swallowing camels, because that's what they're doing here. They're straining gnats and swallowing camels. They're looking for the slightest reason to not embrace the truth as we present it, and then just jump into Satanism right off the bat without even knowing that's what they're doing, you know. They're swallowing it, they're straining a gnat and swallowing a camel. She goes on to say that he told these servants of God that his magicians could do all these wonders. The difference between the work of God and that of the magicians was, one was of God and the other of Satan. One was true, the other false. Pharaoh declared that, oh, and by the way, in the coming days, and I'm working on a track, I'm going to mention this tomorrow on testimony too, in regards to, I'm looking for ideas from my brothers and my sisters and to put in this track. Because it's not just going to be about the fact that someone comes up to you in the coming days when they start to enforce the mark, and this person you know is evil, has never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but had some kind of a physical ailment, if you will. Let's say he goes or she goes to where Satan is, who's acting like he's Jesus, and they come back to you and they're healed, right? It's a false healing. All it is that, like, let's say they got problems with their ankles or their knees. They step into the presence of Satan, and Satan tells the demon that's squeezing their kneecaps to let go now. Oh, wow, I'm healed, they think, right? And they come to you. One of the easiest tests on this whole situation, when they come to you, and they will come to you, they're going to do everything they can to convince as many as they can into, okay, I just lost the streams. Whoa. Hold on, it might be coming back. But it's, wait, I got to jump to the server right quick because it knocked me out completely, but I got to put in my password too. Could not connect to UDP local hosts. Oh boy. We got internet? Can you guys hear me in the chat room? Test. I know you can hear me on WTPR. I can see the VU. All right, let's just see. Let me get out of there because I can't get anywhere in there. Could not. Let's see. Stats. Okay, there's two people back on on POGM Live. But let me go back over here. Because we got some crazy wind again tonight, and it's shaking the dish. So let me just do a quick speed test real quick. See if I can even get... Oh, I can get there. Okay, good. We're good there. Huh. It's a hair grower, though. Okay, let's see. Give it a minute. What's the ping? Come on, give me it. We got some delineation going on here big time. 26. Well, that ain't too bad, but let's just see. Okay, speeds are good. But that's... Not, oh, no. They're going down. Well, 10. That's good. That's less than half, but that's enough to keep us going. I want to see what the upload is. Hold on a second more. Let me get the upload. Okay, that's about normal. Okay. I get 10, but I'm only doing like 7 now, but that's because there's a bunch of people here. So we're good there. All right. So maybe it was just like a gust of wind and it shook the dish and knocked everybody out. So, okay, good. My stream's back up on my side. Okie dokie. Okay, so again, one was true, the other was false. And so the guy comes up to you and he says that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and, you know, he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and you can smell beer on his breath. And he's been healed, though. It's just like with the Catholic priest standing over a hitman as he's being lowered in his grave, and he's praising God for the hitman, all the amazing things that he did for the church, even though he's got about, you know, 20 or 30 bullets in his chest. And they're praising him only because of the money he gave the church, right? And so it's all false. It's just false. Falsities, that's all it is. It's just lies. But the easiest test, like I was saying before we got so rudely interrupted, the test is just ask him what day is the Sabbath. Seriously, by their fruits you shall know them, right? If they can't see the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, then they have not the Holy Spirit at a time when, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're one hell-bound human. You're not going to make it home, especially after you just got back looking at Satan thinking he's Jesus. And so, but another thing, like, let's just say it's been a couple of months, you can't buy and sell, and you live out in the middle of nowhere like I do, and all of a sudden somebody comes driving down the road. You know for a fact that person got the mark of the beast. Why? They're driving. Well, why is that an issue? You can't buy gasoline if you're a Christian. I mean, stuff like that. So I'll be mentioning that a little bit more tomorrow, but because there's going to be a lot of falsehoods coming up because they're going to do everything. Like, if you don't study the Bible daily, those little darts that Satan throws at you are going to become javelins. You can understand the dart easily when you have this, you know, what thus saith the Lord, right? John 14, 26. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever you said unto you. So when you need a Bible verse that confirms in your heart that what that person just said or did is not of God, then you're safe. You don't have to worry about it being pulled off the path or being conned into thinking, yeah, this is the pile of Christians I want to go and run with because they're scared and they're enforcing the mark. No, those are the fake Christians, and they're going to drop a dime on you because they're afraid of getting killed in the guillotine. You have to know certain things before all that stuff goes down. And we have to start thinking about this now. We are that close now. And I know some people out there that, most preachers don't preach prophecy, so they think we're crazy. And they're going to think that all the way up until we start glowing right in front of them, if we're part of the Gideon band, that is. So, going on. Oh, but even then, it doesn't matter. If you went forth with the three angels' message and you're martyred, you'll be there standing next to the Gideon man anyway. With the special resurrection we were talking about earlier. You got the people that were involved in the three angels' message coming out. It's right there in the 1858 Great Controversy page. Wait, I got it right here. I put it on the front cover so I don't forget no more. 205. 1858 edition of the Great Controversy, page 205. Look it up. And then keep going until you finish the chapter. It's only a couple pages. And you'll see how, the planet splits. That's about as far as I'm going to go with that. That's page 207. And then page 208, the rest of the Christians and believers, like Abel, all the way last 6,000, you know, Adam and Abel, and all those people are going to be raising from the dead, you know, as the... And then we are caught up to meet them in the air. So again, she goes on to say that Pharaoh declared that Moses and Aaron were imposters and could accomplish no more than his magicians. Said Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh that Jehovah, whom they pretended not to know, will... See, now that's what I always tell these atheists. And I praise God, so far, three of them, one more is thinking, by the way, three of them, last I heard, have joined our number. I'm not going to say their names unless they want to testify as to how they were beforehand. That's up to them. But three atheists have joined our number because we don't do churchianity or preachertainment. We preach it as it's written. We don't put opinion in. 2 Peter 1:20 is pretty clear about that, especially when it comes to prophecy. We let the Bible define the Bible. Call us legalists if you want. Jesus freaks. What? We don't care. It's not like that's never been said before, right? And so these atheists see this when they see all these, because this is the biggest thing, because I know that, because like when an atheist made a comment recently, a couple of months ago, this is the guy I'm working with now, I hope. He hasn't contacted me since, but they think long time sometimes. And I said, like when he left a comment on my page, one of my videos, and I asked him, I said, so how long have you been searching out Christ? And I do that with all of them. And he didn't answer yet. And the reason I say that is because he's an atheist. What are you doing on a Christian website? What are you doing on a Christian YouTube site, no less, watching a Christian video? You're not looking just to slam me. You're looking to see if I say something the other ones ain't saying. And then you'll find out, wow, these people in the Seventh-day Remnant movement are saying things you don't hear any of the other churches saying. Even the SDAs won't say it. Praise God for that, brothers and sisters. There's a calling. We're being called. So going on, it says, that Jehovah whom thou pretendest not to know, because, again, like the old saying goes, there ain't no atheist in a foxhole. Anybody that claims that they're atheist and then you put them out in a foxhole in Vietnam, they're going to start praying. You know, because I got buddies that used to be in Vietnam that, yeah, I'm sure they saw that too. So that Jehovah whom thou pretendest not to know will convince thee that he is more powerful than all gods. They informed him that God would yet perform greater wonders, which would leave them without excuse, and which would be perpetual monuments of his providence and power in behalf of Israel. Isn't that something, how amazing all that went down? Even what went down in Jericho, how they knew. The reason they were so fearful of the Israelites is because they knew what happened at the Red Sea. But today, yeah, it's like next to no one even knows what happened at the Red Sea. And if it wasn't for Ron Wyatt, who I don't agree theologically speaking, because he had a lot of issues, and I did make a page about him on the website, his research, that's where he should have, like Dr. Karl Baugh, do the research, show creationism with the evidence of science, but please stop preaching because you're way off. Like Jack Chick, show us some documentation that proves, you know, this prophecy was fulfilled by the Vatican and this, that, or whatever, but don't preach because he believed in a secret rapture and, you know, eternal life and hellfire, that too. And Baugh believes in a Trinity and stuff like that. I'll just end it there in regards to what all this is about here or we're discussing. So she goes on to say, providence and the power on behalf of all Israel. Yeah, okay, and then she goes on, she's quoting from the scripture again, and it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out onto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against thee. I think that's so amazing, though. Lo, he goeth out onto the water. And some people think they can hide from God. I mean, it's just, I laugh because I glorify him. He's amazing. Our God is amazing that he would take time out of his busy eternity to see something as minuscule as Pharaoh coming out of the water or going down to the water. It's just like with us, you know, some of the times that when you go into prayer and he answers a prayer that you would think is piddly and tiny and minuscule, you have laughter of joy. It's just, he's so amazing. So again, lo, he goeth out onto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod, which was turned into a serpent, shalt thou take in thine hand, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. Okay, now you see the similarities here in regards to the, you know, what's going on. It's going to be happening here in our day, you know, plague one and two. But there's a lot more. The prophetic innuendo here as to what happened in Exodus is off the chart, or even Esther, and of course Isaiah. But yeah, if you really want to see what's going to happen and it coincides into what Paul said, read Isaiah chapter 2. It's not a big read. So going on, it says, and the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. Well, Pharaoh would not listen to Moses and Aaron, but despised their words, yet he had no power to harm them. See how the Lord protects? Don't worry, in other words, don't fear the lion in the streets, brothers and sisters. Don't, worry about that at all. Just go forth and do this work. The Lord will protect you. And if the Lord wants you to die a death of a martyr, that's a blessing. I mean, they're right there in Revelation and how they're blessed there. And so, and it would be, painless and all that. I mean, we have many of stories in regards to what we saw happen. Some of the eyewitness testimonies, as well as what happened in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Not an easy read, and not something you want to read with kids. But, we have an awesome God. I mean, come on, guys like John Huss singing hymns as his body's on fire. See, that's why people were moved into accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. All right, going on, it says, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. For 7 days the plague upon the waters continued. Yet the king humbled not himself, but hardened his heart. And Moses and Aaron were commanded first, before bringing the plagues, to faithfully relate to Pharaoh the nature of each plague which was to come, and the effect of the plague, that he might have the privilege of saving himself from it if he chose, by letting the children of Israel go to sacrifice unto God. But if the king should refuse to obey the command of God, then would he still visit him with judgments? Or then would he still visit him with judgments? I don't see a question mark there, but maybe there should be. And again, quoting from our Lord's word, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians so did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called," and I would have a tendency to believe that when they do this kind of work, it's hypnotism, you know, like a mesmerism kind of thing, because like mass hypnosis is more in tune of mesmerism, because you can't, hypnotism is a one-on-one kind of a thing. But yeah, you're just using deception in that manner, like with the satanic magicians and stuff like that. Anyway, it goes on to say that then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." And Moses said unto Pharaoh, "Glory over me." What? This is it. Moses said unto Pharaoh, "Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, and that they may remain in the river only?" And he said, "Tomorrow." And he said, "Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God." So I wouldn't think that it'd be in it. Let me see how much further we got here, because I just saw the clock up there. I'm over. It's all past 9 o'clock. Yeah, we're not going to finish this tonight, so we may as well stop here. And this is the bottom of page 186. So praise the Lord. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to finish with prayer.